to hear them talk. That's really funny to hear the babies talk. It's like Elise. You can't understand half of what she says, but what you do understand is pretty funny when you hear it. It is good to be back in church this morning, ain't it? Yeah. I'm excited about it. Excited about preaching and teaching for you a little bit this morning. This week has been a whirlwind, man. It has just been rough on a lot of people, and this week on me has been tough. Of course, you got work. That's just work. But we had a little girl by the name of Skylar. She goes to New Hope Baptist Church over in close to Wetumpka. And I got a text on, I guess it was Monday or Tuesday, that she had gotten home from school. She's about 7 or 8 years old. She got home from school, and she went outside to play. Everything was fine, like her normal day. She's got some mild autism things, so she does have some health issues already. And she came back inside and told her older sister and her mom that she wasn't feeling good, and things didn't seem right for her. And she ended up passing out, and they had to life flight her to Children's Hospital. And that's a scary thing for a parent to watch a child go through something like that, and you don't know what's wrong with her. And they couldn't find out what was wrong with her. They tested for seizures, they tested for strokes, they did everything that they could do, and to this day she's back home now, and they still don't know what happened to her. And that's an awful feeling, because I kept up with the family. I tried to go to Children's Hospital. They wouldn't let me in because I wasn't a family member. They wouldn't even let ministers in there to pray with them or anything like that. And that gets difficult too. And I'm just going to tell you, that makes me mad. I'm not even going to lie to you, but I was a little ticked off about that. Try to get people that you want to help and you want to pray for them and you want to be there for them. And now we've gotten in the world where we can't even do that for them anymore. And it bothers me. So I kind of felt a little like I couldn't do what I needed to do. That church is looking for a pastor, and they didn't have anybody. So he kept texting me. Michael, her dad, kept texting me, keeping me informed. And she progressively got better. She was on the vent for a little while, and she progressively got better, and she came out of that thing. But in all of that process, praying for her and just trying to ask God to fix the situation, man, I get to thinking about how important prayer is. We miss it a lot. In fact, I think we miss it a ton. I study a lot and I read a lot of books to try to be a better preacher. Because I want to be an effective preacher. I want to have nice outlines and points and topics and all these things for people to follow along with, and so that you can enjoy it, and that it has more structure to it, and I try to do those things better. But I remember going through some studies, and I was reading a book from Charles Spurgeon, and I don't agree with everything doctrinally Charles Spurgeon stands for, so don't get on me. I'm not a Calvinist, okay? I know where I stand. But he was the prince of preachers. The man knew how to put a sermon out there. He could preach Jesus Christ to people. Saw a lot of converts. He may have had them messed up a little doctrinally, but he knew how to do a sermon properly. And I was reading his book, Lectures to My Students. It's a massive book. If you ever have time to read it, it's a very good book to read. And he goes through this whole thing, and he's telling you about homiletics and hermeneutics and how to structure sermons and how you should be cautious of people's time and how you should be effective this way and that way, and how you should study the Word of God and commentary so that you can know what you're talking about. And those things are great, but he got this one section, and it's the whole entire chapter of the book. It's the largest chapter in the book. And he says you can have all of the things set out perfectly right. You can have the best outlines. You can have the most knowledge. You can go to the best schools. You can have the best commentaries. But if you miss the prayer, you've missed everything. You see, that's where the power of God comes from, is the prayer. I can get up here and have pretty sermons, and I can have them laid out right, and they may sound good to you, but without me being on my knees before God, asking Him to to get me out of the way so that he can prove himself to you through the Word of God, then it's not effective. And we are missing that prayer. We are missing the kind of prayer that people really truly... We've gotten into this world where we live where we just pray before we eat. Yeah? Pray before you go to bed, because that's what you need to teach your kids to do. You pray when you need something fixed. But where is your relationship at? You know, you sit there and think about your wife and your kids, and you can go through your life, and if you don't have communication with them, the relationship doesn't grow. You can be married to them. They can be your children and not have a relationship with them. The relationship comes from the communication part. It's the same thing with God. Without the communication, you don't have a relationship. Yes, you can be saved on your way to heaven, but you've missed the relationship that you could have had with Him. Prayer is that important. My son last night, I'm getting ready to put him to bed, and that's a chore. Just, if you ain't there yet, it's a chore. It's going to be fun. Stalling is like awesome. I love stalling. You're trying to get him to bed, and I'm trying to get him to bed because I got to go study. You know, it's like, we need to hurry this process along here. Leslie's been taking care of everything else. It's like, I'm just going to get him in bed, and then I can go study and do what I need to do, and he is not helping me out any. But last night we were sitting there and we were going through our bedtime routine stuff and reading books and doing all of that stuff. And when we get right before bed, you know, we do the whole God bless is what we kind of call it. God blesses. And right before I pray, I give him an opportunity to say, what do you want to talk to God about? And, you know, he's going through the list of things that he always does. Mommy, Daddy, Weesey. That's what he calls Elise. Mommy, Daddy, Weesey, you know, Grandma, Grandpa, you know, all this stuff. Nana, Big Daddies, and all, everybody that you can think of. And then he gets down to the last thing, which was really cool. You know, he's praying for that swimming pool that I told him I needed to buy him. I told him we'd get him one of these little kiddie pools so he could shoot his water guns in. And we got to pray about that, Daddy. We need to get that swimming pool. Yeah. But we've been praying for Skylar all week. And he stopped and he said, I thought we were done. You know, we're just going to pray now. And he stopped. He said, hey, Daddy, we need to pray for Skylar. Because that's what's really important. That's what's really important. Was somebody else. Somebody else's need. He doesn't understand what Skylar went through. He has no idea. All he knows is Skylar was sick. She didn't feel good. And she needed to get back home. That's all she knows. That's all he knows. Excuse me. We hadn't made it there yet. So we prayed. I didn't have to say anything about no swimming pools or any of that stuff. Just praying to God to help a situation, to help a family. That's what we need to get back to. Prayer was important to God Himself. Turn to Mark in your Bible. The first chapter of Mark. The first chapter of Mark. First chapter of Mark in verse 35, the Bible says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Now, don't you think if it was important to God that it probably ought to be important to you too? Jesus Christ understood the importance of prayer in this moment. Now, we know that Jesus Christ knew what he was fixing to go through, too. He's fixing to go through some things, but he still wanted his relationship with God to be there. Now, granted, we know that Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh, and we know these things. We know what the Trinity is, and we know how that works, and we know how that's set up. But he's still trying to have relationship with his Father. And it was so important to him that he said, I'm going to go along. I'm going to get up early to do it. Why? Before everything else gets started, before my day starts, before the world starts rolling and everybody's going and everybody's getting to the next place, I'm going to get along with God first. But we miss that too. We don't give God the first of anything anymore. We don't give God the first of anything. God gets the last, he gets the last of everything, even if we give him that. We'll pray before we go to bed, but when's the last time you prayed when you got up? And I ain't talking about to fix a problem. I'm just talking about to say, hey, God, I'm here. Good morning. I love you. Thank you. That's all I'm talking about. Just those moments. You see, we've missed the whole point of prayer because it's all about what we need fixed, what we need done, what we need corrected. What we've done and we've gotten in trouble and we need to get out of this trouble, when really it should just be communicating with God. How do you pray? Think about it. This is Sunday school, you can think about it a minute. How do you pray? When you get alone with God, if you get alone with God, how do you really pray? Is it how you pray here? Come on now. Shouldn't the way you pray here be the same way you pray there? It's not how we do it, though. This got to sound pretty. Come on now. You too busy about worrying about what you look like when you're up here. Oh, Father God, we love you. Is that how you talk to somebody? You ever thought about, hey, God. Hey, God, I just love you. God, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I didn't deserve it. Come on, talk to him. He's real. Sometimes I think we're acting like he's not. Just putting on air. It was important to him to have communication with his Father. It ought to be much more important for you. He just died on the cross for your sins, right? That's all it was. Just hung on a cross for you. Just gave his life for you. I think the least you could do, what does the Bible talk about? Your reasonable service? Your reasonable service? Communication would be pretty good. I think that'd be considered reasonable. Just let me build on my communication with him. I think it'd do everybody good to find them a spot where you're alone from everybody. Get away from your kids, get away from your spouse, get away from everything that's going on. And give God some time. You know, I think about Paul and Silas, and we preached on that before, and it talks about they prayed, okay? They didn't leave the prayer out. They didn't just sing. They didn't just preach. They prayed. It started with a prayer. It developed into something else. The prayer was where it all started, though. I can imagine Paul having that relationship with God, to where he's sitting there going, you know, I'm in jail, I'm in prison, this is bad, but this is a good time to get along with God. I can think about Daniel in that lion's den. Well, that was tough. But everything's quiet and everybody's gone. Ain't nothing but just lions running around. God done fixed that problem. They come rushing in and ask, is he all right? Is he okay? Is he still there? Guess what? He's just alone with God now. He just needed a moment to be alone with God. You know, he got up early and prayed to him anyways. He didn't stop when he got down there. What about you? Now, I've been working on it. I'm here to tell you, I ain't got it all figured out. I ain't going to lie to you and act like I'm super spiritual. I have my problems. But there has been a few times. And I'm not saying I'm there now, but there's been a few times where I've got along with God. And it's just different. Man, it's different. When you get along with God for a long period of time there, and you are that close with Him, that you truly feel Him again. Come on now, when's the last time you felt Him? Something as big as God moves into your heart, you ought to feel Him just every once in a while. Okay? I ain't basing my salvation on some feeling thing. Don't get there with me, but you ought to feel something every once in a while. You ought to have some conviction every once in a while. And there's been those moments where I've got along with God and I've said, this is different. This is good. And I enjoy those moments when I'm alone with God. When I put the world aside and I say, this is the most important thing in my life right here. And everybody should be doing it. You say, well, I've got work. Work can wait. But I got to be, no, work can wait. A relationship with Jesus Christ is way more important than the money you're going to make. And this is outside of church, folks. I ain't talking about church. Do I think you ought to go to church? Yeah. But you ought to have a relationship with Jesus Christ outside this building. This is something you do twice a week. I mean, you get, what, 3 hours? Unless somebody long-winded is preaching. I'm not saying that I am. I'm not saying that I'm not. But you get 3 hours worth of church. That's not very much. That ain't going to build a relationship. If I give my wife 3 hours a week, probably not going to be so close. Sometimes I feel like she would rather me give her 1 hour, but she's like, get away from me. But if I only give her 3 hours, it's not going to be good enough. If you only give God 3 hours, it isn't going to be good enough. You better get on your face before God and start praying and start asking God to have a relationship with Him, to build a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus Christ is talking here when He goes and He gets His alone time with God and He's trying to build a relationship with God. I got some notes right here. Because I didn't have time to write them down. So I put them in my phone because that's smart, right? But I saw these things and I thought they were good. It's talking about praying with persistence. We don't pray with persistence anymore. It'd be good to start praying with some persistence. Do it often. Do it all the time. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you have to walk around with your eyes closed and your hands folded. It means being in a state of prayer all the time. It's being that close to God every single solitary day. You know what? If you are that close to God all the time, just think about how effective a witness you'll be. When I am not close to God, those moments where I'm sitting there going, I need to witness to that person. Witness they dwindle down. They dwindle down. But those moments when I am closer to God and I have been praying, I have been reading, I have been studying, those moments seem to be like, man, they're everywhere. Those moments, they almost come up to you. Why? Because that's when you can be effective. Is when you have a communication with Jesus Christ. You have to be persistent at it. You have to be doing it constantly. We also need to do this one. I thought this one was real, real good. And I saw this at the sign show in Atlanta. And it had nothing to do with prayer, but it made me think of it. And I worded it a little different. It says, pray making intercession. Intercessory prayer is praying for others. It's praying for God's will to be done in the lives of other people. And when's the last time we did that effectively? We'll pray for our own situations. We don't pray for others very well. I'm not talking about, hey, pray for Skylar. She doesn't feel good. Pray with her mom and daddy. I'm not saying, you know, those kind of prayers. I'm saying, when's the last time you got down on your knees before God and said, hey, God, I know Michael is having a rough time right now. I know Erica's having a rough time right now. And I know Skylar's going through a lot at this present moment in time. And they may not be in the place to be able to pray for it, but I am. I'll pray for it. You got Moses on that mountain and they had to come raise his hands up for him. You ever thought about that? Lift your hands. You might have to hold somebody's up every once in a while. That's what you're supposed to do as a church, right? They may not be able to pray. They may say, I'm going through too much, God, and I don't understand it. I shouldn't have to do this. I've been doing this. They may be dealing with a lot more in their mind, but you might be able to be the difference in that. You might be able to be the one that says, hey, I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to be persistent, and I'm going to be some intercession prayer for them. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to pray for them anyway, because they may be dealing with something a little harder than what I can even comprehend and understand. Do you pray like that? Do you care about people that much? You know, if you asked me, I'm one of those kind of, it's horrible, I know. I go to work and everybody's like, you just don't care. Like, you just want to get the job done. You don't care. You don't care about hurting people's feelings. You don't care about, and I don't. I'm that kind of person. We got a job to do. I don't care if it hurts your feelings for me to tell you to go do your job. It's just the kind of person I am. That doesn't bother me at all. If it hurts your feelings, get over it or get lost. But there are times when it's like, hey, you need to step back and actually care about some folks. This ain't a job. This ain't just work. It's just people's lives you're dealing with. They're dealing with stuff on a daily basis that you can't even comprehend. I couldn't fathom. My wife knows Skylar. I couldn't fathom us having to deal with that situation. If Walker had been in Skylar's position, I don't know what I'd have done. Now, I'm supposed to be the strong preacher, right? But it sure would have been nice to know that there was somebody sitting there going, God, please help them. You might be the strongest Christian in this building. You may have more faith than everybody else, but there's going to come a time when somebody needs to say, hey, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to help them. We don't pray like this anymore. It's a game. Church is a game. Praying's a game. We just show up because that's what we're supposed to do. You act like you care about people, but you don't ever see anything about them during the week. Come on now. You say, this is Sunday school right here. Sunday school is supposed to hurt a little. It's supposed to be nicer on Sunday morning service, you know. You got visitors and stuff. Sunday school, you can be mean. You don't care about people outside of your little world. You come here and be buddies with them until you leave. Unless they're going to give you something you want. Amen. You take me turkey hunting, we'll be best friends. Outside of that, I don't care nothing about you, right? Mm-hmm. That's how it works. I should care about you whether you take me turkey hunting or not. Whether you take me fishing or not, I should care about you. Whether you give me a paycheck or not, I should care about you. Amen. Why? Because I have a heart for people. I have a heart for people and the things that they're going through in their life. I want to see us get our prayer life back together. A true prayer life. You want to change your church? I'm talking about effectively change your church. Somebody's dying back there. Change your church, change your prayer life. That's how it works. If you'll change your prayer life, your church will be more effective. And I'm talking about it starts with one person. Just one of you. It ain't even got to be all of you. Just one of you will change something. Because if one of you do it and you start praying for other people in the church, guess what? They'll start doing it too. And then before you know it, this church is going to blow up. And you'll sit there and God will do things He ain't never done before. And it's going to be good. And it's going to be awesome. You're going to love every minute of it. And you can stay right there. And yeah, you're going to have bad times. But guess what? Somebody else is going to be sitting there going, I got you this time. I got you this time. You prayed for me last time. I'm going to pray for you this time. I know you might not be able to lift your hands right now, but I'll just hold them up for you anyway. I'll raise my hands when you can't do it. I'll pray for you when nobody else will. Why? Because I care about you. Because I care about you. Because I care about your situation. But you got to have some communication with God to get to that point. You have to have some of that alone time that Jesus Christ had. I'm not telling you how to live your life. Okay? You do you, however you do you. But if I can give you some advice, here would be some good advice, okay? Whatever time you wake up in the morning, get up 30 minutes earlier and give it to God. And you got to. But if you'll do it for a week, I guarantee you feel different. You say, well, I can't do that because I'll lose some sleep. Give it to God. It's worth losing some sleep for God, right? Okay? For a week. If something don't change in you just in 1 week, then maybe you ought to check yourself to see whether you be in the faith in the first place. Because something will change. I started this past week. I woke up 30 minutes earlier. I'm going to tell you right now, Monday was rough. That hurt. I mean, I remember sitting there going, God, oh. And it may be like that on Monday. Tuesday, it gets a little bit better. By Wednesday, you're rolling all right. By Wednesday, you actually get to make it through the whole entire prayer of the time you were trying to make. You know, you're reading a little bit more. You're kind of there. Thursday, good. Friday, you're fine. Saturday, you're good. Sunday, you're good, and you'll just keep doing it. You'll keep doing it to the point that you sit there and you go, maybe I ought to give him an hour. Maybe I ought to give him two. Maybe he deserves three. Well, wouldn't that be good? You get 3 hours of church and get 3 hours of home. Just think how close to God you'd be. Just think what He would do in your life. Just think what He would do in other people's lives just for you praying for them. Man, I just want to see effective Christians, okay? That's what it all boils down to. I just want to see effective Christians. Now, I do all this, and I'm going to do something different because I can. Because I get to play pastor when I'm here, right? Amen. I don't care whether you agree with it or not, I'm playing pastor. We're going to do something special, okay? One, I want you to remember Skylar, okay? I want you to remember her family. Please. Remember her family, especially her mom and dad. They're terrified, okay? They are terrified. She just passed out. They have no idea why. They still don't know why. Her mother is a nurse, which is a good thing because she can monitor some stuff. But just like everybody else, she's got to go to work. So now you've got this father that's at home at night with her that he's terrified. Be praying for them. Be praying for her that it'll just be done. Go away. Other thing is, I know you're dealing with some stuff. And I'm not trying to get in your business. But I want you to come up front, and I want us to pray for you personally. And I want all the men of the church to come up here. We're going to lay hands on them. It ain't got nothing to do with our hands. There ain't nothing in them. But it's just coming together as a church saying, hey, let's pray for somebody. Let's help somebody. And let's just show somebody that we care for them, all right? Like I said, ain't anybody getting in your business, anybody embarrassing you. It's just what I feel like God wants me to do. So if you give me that opportunity, I'd appreciate it. Everybody pray as you see fit. Dear Father, I thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. Thank you so much. for allowing us to be able to come to church, Lord, and learn.